people have a tendency to get tied up in stuff. I'd like to turn to Luke first. The Luke chapter 12. Where it says, now this is in reference to people being caught up in stuff and worrying about things. And starting with verse 30, it says, "For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." What a generous father. First time the word kingdom is used in the Bible is in connection with Babel. In Genesis 10, 8 through 10, Nimrod, whose name means "we shall rebel," founded the kingdom. Babel is the root word for Babylon. And throughout the Bible, Babylon is synonymous with rebellion against Yahweh. On the other hand, the first reference to a kingdom in the New Testament was the reference in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 2, where John the Immerser advised, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We review the whole of the Bible and we find a clear contrast between the two opposing kingdoms, the kingdom of Babylon and the kingdom of Yahweh. The culmination of the conflict between the two kingdoms is found in the book of Revelation. The Babylonian kingdom is identified as the final power that will worship the beast and war against Yahweh's people. In order to understand the future, we must look to the past and discover the beginnings of Babel. Let's look in Genesis chapter 11, starting at verse 1. "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' And Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons of men had built. And Yahweh said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So Yahweh scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there Yahweh confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, Yahweh scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. After the flood, the human population began to explode. The age of man was still measured in centuries, so there were many more people being born than there were dying. In a short amount of time, there was a swarm of people around Ararat. Nimrod and some of his cronies began to explore the area between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. It made sense. The Garden of Yahweh was located in that area before the flood, so it may still be a desirable place to live. They were attracted to the plains of Shinar. The climate was mild, and the soil was very good. Nimrod evidently believed that there was safety, strength, and power in numbers. So in the plains of Shinar, they devised a plan to build a great city as the center of their kingdom. Even more, they planned to develop a new religion with a tower that reached to the heavens as the center of their worship. The builders of the tower decided, without consulting Yahweh, to erect and dedicate this monument as the center of worship and the place of offering for all mankind. Remember, prior to the flood, it had never rained. The sky would have a different visual appearance. An even layer of water around the earth would have diffused and polarized light, sunlight, causing an even, mild temperature all around the world. That's why we can find remnants of green vegetation buried in the ice in the South Pole, and frozen woolly mammoths with green vegetation in their mouths in northern Siberia. There is evidence of this in the Bible in Genesis 1:7. It is written, "And Yahweh made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so." And in the record of the flood, Genesis 7:11 records, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened." Not until after the flood had man seen a rainbow, nor had he the ability to look directly at the sun. To see and feel the unfiltered power of the sun, people after the flood realized how important the sun was to their existence. It helped dry the land, and it had a part in bringing back the vegetation. So instead of worshiping Yahweh, who made the sun, the builders of Babel began worshiping the sun directly. We see evidence of this in the remains of towers, pyramids, and ziggurats all over the world that held part in a system that offered sacrifice to their sun deities. And they can all be traced back to Babel. Using some extrapolation and the genealogies in Genesis, we can estimate that the construction of the Tower of Babel ceased about 100 years after the flood, or about 2200 BC. Because Noah lived another 350 years and Shem another 502 years, we can suppose that not everyone alive was in favor of a city and a tower at Babel. The followers of Yahweh believed the promise that he made after the flood. and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh, in Genesis 9:15. But the builders of Babel concluded that Yahweh could not be trusted, and that they would have to guarantee their own safety and success. It's likely that those men and women of Yahweh that advised against the city were ridiculed and ignored as fools, possibly persecuted and made to be the enemy of the majority, blocking the way to economic, cultural, and religious development. They were enemies of the state. Against their objections, the building program went forward, the program to erect a tower to heaven. Yahweh is an Elohim of long suffering and patience, but there is a limit at some point. Then he will take action. In Genesis 11:5, the word says, "And Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built." This doesn't mean that Yahweh had no idea what was going on. It implies that he had seen enough and was ready for action. The same Hebrew phrase is used before Yahweh attended to Sodom. Yahweh waited until the project was nearly complete and then took action, allowing as much time as possible for man to come to grips with himself. Yahweh confused the final efforts to finish the tower. Communication is vital to the success of such a large project. When men could no longer communicate, they ceased to function as a team. And frustration mounted to the point of dismay, and their confederacy was broken. They were confused. You see, Babel means confusion and is the root of the modern word babbling. Yahweh is not the author of confusion. That is, that he will not bring confusion into his worship. But he has confused his enemies many times in Scripture. 2 Kings 6:18, 7:6, 1 Corinthians 1:27. There have been many attempts to repair the tower and rebuild the city of Babylon. The last major effort was mounted by Nebuchadnezzar II, who said that he received a command from his god Marduk to build it so that its top might rival heaven. He called his temple tower Itemenanki, which has a meaning of the foundation stone of heaven and earth. Ancient historians have reported that this tower was a furlong in length, breadth, and width, or and height. That is 660 feet in every dimension. That makes it 200 feet taller than the Great Pyramid at Khufu. It is true that Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein directed workers to restore some of the ancient remains of Babylon. But there was little progress. He had grand plans for extensive reconstruction in the old city, thereby discounting the Jewish prophecy found in Isaiah 13, 19, and 20, that says, "And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, The glory of the Chaldeans' pride will be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and it will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Nor will the Arab pitch his tent there, nor the shepherds make their flocks lie down there. But we know his plans were cut short. The prophecy is still holding. There are at least six ways that Babylon was the pattern for all following man-made religions. The tower was a monument to salvation by works. The builders of the tower were not atheists. They knew Yahweh. They knew that he existed, but they thought he could not be trusted and that they had to provide for their own salvation. They chose to work their way to heaven from the ground up. All subsequent religions that base their success on works substitute their labor for the free gift of Yahweh. The tower was a monument to human pride. The primary objective for a true believer is to bring glory to Yahweh. We are told to pray to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. In contrast, Genesis 11:4 says that the purpose of the tower was to let us make a name for ourselves. See, we've substituted our own pride for the name of the Creator. The term denomination means to unite under a name. Many churches have been founded to make a name for the founder and not for the living Elohim. Pride was the cause of the Babel builders' fall, as well as their cohort, Hasatan. It was a monument to mankind's disobedience and defiance of Yahweh's will. In Genesis 9:1, Elohim told Noah and his sons to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. These are clear instructions to disperse throughout the earth. Some of the sons of Noah chose to disregard Yahweh and congregate in a city. Today, there are many of the same opinion. You know, people think that Yahweh is not very particular about obedience. They think that if you intend to do the right thing, if you choose to do things your own way, but you really, you know, intend to do it for him, that he knows your heart and he knows what you meant. Well, the Bible says that Yahweh holds disobedience in high regard. He wants you to be obedient to his word. And disobedience is not an option. Obedience to Yahweh is central to establishing a relationship with Yahweh. We We want to establish a relationship so that we can magnify Him, so that we can lift Him up, so that we can serve Him in a way that will put Him in a good light. And being the Creator, He's given us a guideline that tells us how we are to do that. And if we just simply obey those guidelines, it's the beginning of a wonderful relationship. Number four, the tower was a monument to human achievement. The technology achievement was intended to redirect the attention of man from Yahweh to the works of man. This work of man was meant to become more spectacular than our Creator. How many today are attracted to the temples built by men rather than the house of Yahweh? Giving up critical points of doctrine for aesthetic pleasures. Can you think of some of the mega churches that exist today? Number five, it was a monument to disbelief in Yahweh and His Word. Yahweh told the children of Noah what His intentions were and gave His promise, sealing it with a rainbow. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, He promised not to flood the earth again. The Babel builders didn't believe Yahweh. One of their objectives was to build a tower so high that no flood water would be able to cover the top of it. Rather than trusting Yahweh, they trusted Nimrod. How many today follow the teachings of a single man as opposed to the teachings of Almighty Yahweh? And lastly, it was a monument to heaven on earth. How many times has man tried to make a kingdom on earth that has no need for Yahweh? By the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon had grown into a full-blown counterfeit of the New Jerusalem. The splendor of Babylon was known worldwide. Babel and later Babylon was man's feeble attempt to duplicate heaven on earth. How many attempt this today? Through religion, politics, science. There seems to be an inherent drive for man to be like Yahweh. In contrast, the children of Yahweh were looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect is the and builder is Yahweh. Hebrews 11:10. At Babel, Yahweh confused man's languages so that they could not unite in rebellion against Him. In these last days, the devil is using every means to bring together those that would unite to rebuild Babylon. The very foundation of the final attempt at the tower are being poured today. Information is the currency of today. In this computer age, translations from one language to another are just keystrokes away. Data is being shared at light speed. There is a worldwide effort to reconcile differences between denominational churchianity. Every month you can read about another church reconciling with the majority. The Bible predicts more and more natural disasters at the end of time. Look around. Do you see more and more natural disasters? Some people say, well, no, they're just being reported more. I don't think so. Time is coming. Religious persecution is not very far away. The religious moral majority of people will persecute Yahweh's faithful because they are impeding the common good. Just as they were at the Tower of Babel. If you think Bible prophecy cannot be accurate, consider this. Messiah and his followers were faithful church members. So were those that killed him. And it was one of Yahshua's closest companions that betrayed him. The churches of the world are already uniting. Look at mainline Protestantism and how they have embraced Catholicism for the common good, end quote. But just as in the days of Esther, when the decree goes out to kill Yahweh's people, Yahweh will confound their plans at the last minute and turn the tables on the wicked. Just before Yahshua returns, those who have rebelled against Yahweh will turn on one another, just like they did at Babel, and their efforts will be diminished. Yahweh longs for his people to come out of Babylon. Don't be confused. Don't trust in the counterfeit religion of distrust. Come to the truth of Canaan. Come to the truth of Yahweh. The Bible is pretty clear that in the last days, there will only be two groups of people. There will be those that choose the way of the beast, receive his mark, and finally be destroyed. And those that choose the way of Yahweh, keeping the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony of Yahshua. Living in Babylon may be convenient or comfortable. Sin can be comfortable. But those that are willing to brave the opposition, deny self, and follow Yahshua will be spared the final plagues that will fall on Babylon. The rewards of heaven will infinitely outweigh any sacrifice that has to be made. Which kingdom do you choose? The promised kingdom of Yahweh or the man-made kingdom of Babylon? Remember, the consequences are eternal. Hallelujah.